Deacons meeting getting an applause. That's all right. That's all right. Hey, our focus passage is Luke, the first chapter, verses 18 through 45. When we left off 2 weeks ago, we had met Zacharias and Elizabeth. If you remember, they were an older couple, a senior adult couple. He is a priest who serves in the temple. And if you remember, the priest would serve on a rotation 2 weeks a year. And then inside there, they would do different things. And when we met Zacharias, he had been drawn to do a very, very special task, to serve at the incense altar, which was given to each priest once in a lifetime. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, kind of like the Falcons winning the Super Bowl today. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And while he was there, if you remember, while he was there, close to the Holy of Holies, going about his ministry, God sent an angel to communicate to him. And the angel appeared to Zacharias, and he told him that God was going to answer a long time prayer of he and his bride, that they would have a child, because they were without a child. And so God had sent a messenger, had communicated to Zacharias, God has heard your prayer, God is honoring your prayer, and you're going to name him John, and he's going to take a Nazarite vow, and he's going to be a communicator of the coming king. He gave him all this information, and now we're going to pick up with Zacharias' communication with the angel. Shall we go ahead? Verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this?" How, you know, hey, you're going to be a dad. Well, how can I be sure of this? "I am an old man. My wife is well along in years." Verse 19. The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." So we see Zacharias. Today's message I've entitled, "If you ask, you will believe." So here we see Zacharias and his bride. They've been praying for years, we believe, that God would give them a child. And not only a child, a son, because of the Jewish Jewish societal beliefs and all those sort of things. And so they've been crying out, "Lord, please! Lord, please!" In faith they cry out. But I want you to know this, is that righteousness does not always equal a lack of doubt. Can I just say this? I believe with absolute confidence that everyone in this room, including myself, have cried out to the Lord in faith, but with doubt. Correct. Haven't we? Correct. We have. We cry out to the Lord in faith because we know He's there, we know He cares, we know He hears, but in our hearts, there's a matter of faith. And Zacharias, although he walked blamelessly before the Lord, still wrestled with doubt and fear. You remember the angel of the Lord said to him, he says, "Don't fear and doubt." What is doubt? Well, doubt can be a good thing and a bad thing. If doubt can cause us to pause for a moment and reconsider a decision and sometimes save us from a bad decision, it's not a bad thing. But here, his righteousness and your righteousness does not mean there will never be a moment of doubt. My friend, if anyone ever tells you that as a Christian, they've never had a moment of doubt, I propose to you they're a liar. And they need to repent of that sin. Because I want you to know God is bigger and greater than my mind and heart can conceive. And yes, every now and then, when you're standing in the middle of Delhi, India, population 20 million plus, and the population of born-again believers is 0.09%, you have to think in your heart, "God, how could we, I don't doubt God, but you have doubt. How can this little remnant of people transform this entire community?" You see, righteousness does not mean we'll not have doubt, But the challenge we face is, what do we do in the moment of doubt? You see, he went from Lord, please, to Lord, please. Isn't it amazing how just tone can change things? Come on, Tammy, you like that, don't you? Come on, you know, you look at Bobby, you say, Bobby, please. Huh? Here's this man of God standing close to the presence of God before the angel of God doing the things of God, and he says, God, please. Don't you understand? I'm old. And then he has the courage, only because he was alone, to go, and so is my wife. Little did he know it was going to be recorded for all of ancient history. You see, he had a doubt. Doubt is a normal thing. He had a doubt. He had a doubt in the message. Are you sure you got the message right? He had a doubt in the messenger. Now that, I don't know how you could doubt, because how do you mistake an angel? And he had a doubt in the method. Are you sure the message is right? And if the message is right, how are you going to do that? Does that sound familiar to you? I can tell you, that rings true sometimes. God, are you sure? Okay, and how are you going to do this? 2 weeks from today, we'll celebrate our 5-year anniversary in this wonderful campus. And I remember thinking this very thing. God, are you sure? How are you going to do this? And God says, I got it. And he had it and still has it. And so Zacharias is exercising his humanity, and he's in doubt. Verse 21, meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he had stayed so long in the temple. He went in to do the work at the altar of the incense, and everyone's outside waiting, and they're like, where is he? Is he going to come out? What's going on? When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. Melinda, I want you to know, when I was studying this is the world's greatest charade. Can you imagine trying to describe, I saw an angel, and he spoke to me. Tanya, I know that means probably eat, doesn't it? Right here. He spoke to me, and he said that my aged body and my aged wife are going to have a baby. Can you imagine? He's trying to communicate, but he can't speak. When his time of service was completed, his 2 weeks, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. Verse 25, the Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among people. This was a societal disgrace about not having a child that she's speaking of here. So we see Zacharias. The angel says, because you doubt the Lord, because you doubt his message, because you doubt his methodology, you're going to remain silent. Now the ladies say, amen, and the men say, mm-mm. Well, why would God do that? Well, it could have been to give time for Zacharias to observe. You know what I've known to be true in my own life is when this is running, these usually aren't working. And if this is running, sometimes these aren't even working. It could be that God says, I'm going to close up your pie hole so you can kind of take some time to look at what's going on. Not only to observe, but to reflect on what? All the years of crying out to the Lord, and God gives him a message in the most incredible of ways. And what does he do with it? How does he receive it? You know, self-reflection is a powerful thing when we do it with honesty and integrity. And then lastly, perhaps for repentance. That the priest of God would doubt to a degree. So it could be that God closed his mouth so that he would have time to reconsider these other things. I thought about this. What would our world be like if you and I took one whole 24-hour period and never opened our mouths? What if you and I took one 24-hour period and never turned on anything digital like you may be looking at right now? What would it be like? It'd be hard for some. Ask you a question. Are there times when the Lord would be better served if his people just remained silent? Yeah. You certainly believe there is. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it'd be better for us just to not say anything at all. And Jeff, I echo what you said last week. Not just what we say through our mouths, but what we say through our digital expressions. Listen, just because you think it doesn't mean the world needs to hear it. Won't you process that a little bit and lay it before the Lord? Because I promise you, you don't get to read everything I think. I promise you that. Now let's look at his wife. His wife remained in seclusion. Why? Well, I think in part, maybe she just wanted to see if this was all for real. You know, they couldn't go down to the doctor and go, oh yes, you're pregnant. Let's have an ultrasound. Yes, there's your baby. Da-da-da. She's trying to process through this, right? Trying to make sure things are good. And I believe she also had a time to observe the transformation in her body, to reflect on what God is doing and will do, and to rejoice. To rejoice that God had given her the thing that was most important to her. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for everything, isn't there? The challenge is knowing what time it is. And so we see these two kind of set aside. One is quiet by choice, the other is quiet by force. And they're reflecting, and they're repenting, and they're rejoicing. And then we go on verse 26. Probably you've heard of this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, the same angel, to Nazareth. He was handing out birth announcements to a town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Again, you don't get to see an angel every day. And when an angel makes an appearance and makes an announcement, it's 50-50 whether there's judgment coming. So don't judge Mary when she goes, what kind of announcement is this? It's like that phone call at 3 in the morning. What if you won the Indian National Publishers Clearinghouse? It's 3 in the afternoon there, and they're just having to call you at 3 in the morning. Get it? Because we all know if your phone rings at 3 in the morning, it's just one thing, right? Miss Elaine says, it's bad stuff. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." Now, the interesting thing about God, I think God has the most tremendous sense of humor ever. Because God chooses to use some of the most foolishness of men for the most glorious causes. And here, he's chosen a young lady by the name of Mary. Now, what we need to understand is Mary has found favor in the eyes of the Lord. But understand that Mary is just a lady. She's just a woman. And God has chosen her for a supernatural process, an event. But she lives in a town called Nazareth. Now, if you were a good Jew, you didn't really like Nazareth because everybody from Nazareth, well, they're just an unkosher people. They're just, Because Nazareth was a trading center. And so they would engage oftentimes with Romans. And then they would also engage with Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. And so what's interesting is this was a prevailing attitude. So much that we see in John's account, he says this, "Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" Quote, "Nazareth? Can anything come good out of there?" like College Station. Nathaniel asked, come and see, said Philip. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all weekend. There was such a prevailing attitude that even this man goes, Nazareth? What can come good from there? Not only something come good, but the Son of God is from Nazareth. The Messiah is from Nazareth. You see the attitude, and God, I could just see God, well, I'm going to make these Jews just squirm a little bit. Did anyone see that Bart sang at the National Day of Prayer for President Trump the other day? Anyone see that? Now, who would have thought that a little boy from Greenville would one day sing for the president? He didn't. And I promise his little grandma that used to sit right across from me in church, you remember? Would have never thought one day when her little grandson says, Mama, I want to be a singer. And she goes, well, Bart, mercy me. You guys know that's where it came from. That one day he'd stand in a place like that. What good comes out of Greenville? What good comes out of Nazareth? So she was engaged. She was from the wrong city. She was engaged. Now, in the Jewish custom, the engagement was the same as married, in essence. You were considered husband and wife, and you know, here we get engaged, and there's still that one little half time to go. You know that engagement period is when you kind of go, well, we have anybody engaged right now? Okay. Well, it was funny because both the girls kind of looked, and the guys just kept looking forward. I could feel it right there. But in the Jewish custom, to be engaged, it was a sealed deal. And here's this young lady, Mary was probably a teenager, and she's engaged. And she's engaged to a poor carpenter, by the way. She's also a virgin, and these things would be checked to make sure before engagement was allowed and proceeded. She was a descendant of David through her engagement, which means that Jesus, who's King of the Jews, will have claim to that throne because he's of the family of kings, King David. She's fearful. Now, what would Mary have to be fearful about? Well, she's fearful for customs and social relationships. First of all, she's engaged. And I just want you to know, if you're engaged and your betrothed turns up pregnant, that's going to cause some questions. Especially when she claims to remain a virgin. Her groom-to-be, Joseph, ultimately had the right to have her stoned in the worst-case scenario. And then there's the social stigma. I don't know if you know, but people gossip. I don't know if you guys know that. And I don't know if you know this, but even in church, people gossip. So here's this young lady. She's betrothed. She's committed to Joseph. Now she's pregnant. And she goes, but I'm still a virgin. Well, Mary, where did you get pregnant from, God? Now let me ask any parent in here, that is that going to jive with you? So you see, Mary had a lot on her plate to be fearful of, but she was also favored. Does that mean that God loves Mary more than you? Absolutely not. God's love for you and God's love for Mary is always at 100%. Amen? Always. Always God loves you. Whether you love Him, whether you honor Him, it doesn't matter. God's love for you is unchanged by your attitude and actions towards Him. That's awesome. She was favored before the Lord. Verse 31. This is what He told her. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice just to have your kids' names given to you? Isn't that one? It's hard today naming kids. I mean, because everybody wants to be so unique. I'm thinking of that Seinfeld, you know, Seven. I'm going to name my son Seven. You know, and those kind of things. Listen, be creative, but just remember, you're afflicting that kid for his life. Just, I mean, come on. Be sensible. But he says, your son's name will be Jesus. You remember her aunt's, now he says, your son's going to be named John. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. There's the lineage. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. Verse 34, Mary asks, how will this be, since I am a virgin? Now, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. Now, Mary probably didn't know about Elizabeth. One, she was in seclusion, and two, Facebook hadn't been invented yet. She didn't see it on Instagram or Twitter or, you know, or Tumblr or all those things. Yeah, the banner got that one. I love the Herald banner. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she has she who said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. Verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail. If we, the church, not just knew this but believed this, it would transform us. The word of God will never fail. And it doesn't matter how you feel about it, and it doesn't matter how your friends feel about it, and it doesn't matter how the media feels about it, and it doesn't matter how the government feels about it, and it doesn't matter how the rest of the world feels about it. God's word will never change and never fail. And here's her response. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. First of all, let me just give you something a little extra, and it's free here. The fact that Mary was a virgin is absolutely non-negotiably important here. Yes. Now, there is a discussion inside the church of whether she was or she wasn't. Was Jesus conceived through the normal procedure of human procreation? My friends, if Jesus Christ is not born of a virgin and conceived through the Holy Spirit, then, my friends, he's a man. And if he's a man, you and I are hopeless. If you give away the virgin birth, my friends, you've given away Christianity at its inception. If you give away the virgin birth, then, my friends, we are wasting our time. Much like my friends, the Hindus, who believe that you must be reincarnated over 32 million times to even have a shot at nirvana. The virgin birth to a Christian is non-negotiable. It's non-debatable. It's a non-argument starter. And my challenge to you, like we talked a few weeks ago about the inerrancy of Scripture and the inspiration of Scripture, there are pillars of faith that are unmovable, and the virgin birth is one of those. Do not be ashamed to stand on unchangeable truth. Because if we do not stand on the Word of God, then we have all fallen. That's free. He says, name your son Jesus, the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. Now, how would you like to be the delivery system of this man? Do you think there's a little pressure? Now, I've never spent one day as a woman, There's a part of me that would like to. Come on, Andrew, just out of curiosity?
Nope.
Not once?
I'm good.
Okay. Okay, hey, I've got a little exploring heart. My concern is what that one day might be doing. What if my one day was childbirthing? Oh, no. I am not man enough to be a woman. I admit that. But imagine the pressure on this teenager who's socially rejected, who's relationally questioned, whose parents go, really? God? And oh, by the way, his name's Jesus, the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. You tell me this girl isn't wrestling with some things. And she asked the question, how will this be? Now, the interesting thing between this and her uncle's question is her uncle's question was, God, really? Here, she's not questioning the delivery system. She's not questioning the message or the methodology. What she's asking is, help me understand. Help me understand. I'm a teenage girl who's a virgin. Help me understand. How can this be? James says in his writings, if any man lacks wisdom, what? Let him ask of God, who gives. God desires us to seek wisdom. Wisdom is when we come to the Lord with empty hands and we say, Lord, help me understand. Help me see you. It's not Zacharias, really? There's a difference. She says, let your word be fulfilled. God, I don't understand. God, I'm fearful. But God, I receive what you say. Let your word be truth in me. Wow. How courageous is that? How humbling is that? You see, part of the challenge in the church is this, is we never want to get in water over our heads. Because we get scared. You know how I know? I get scared. We never want to be outside of what we feel like we can control, manipulate, or answer. Because we're afraid and we don't know what the outcome's going to be. Well, my friends, if you have no need of faith, then you have no need of God. And she says, help me understand. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. I can't begin to... I don't even have time. I mean, God gave His perfect seed of salvation. It's miraculous. It's just, and then he goes on. He says, Elizabeth's word from God is true. Oh, by the way, your aunt's 6 months pregnant. You remember the one who can't have them? I told her she was going to be pregnant. And you know, God's word never fails. She had faith in both the promise and the process. Let's quickly go on. Verse 39. Now, Mary has been told this is going to transpire. And what's she do? At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zacharias' home and greeted her aunt Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her leaped in the womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear. Can you imagine running in and you're going to tell your aunt, hey, listen, you're not going to believe what happened to me? And your aunt goes, you're not going to believe what happened to me? Look! Like I said, Twitter was down. She gets this message from God, and I'm thinking she's packing her bags. You know what? Part was to share the message, but can I just tell you this? In my sanctified imagination, part of it was to see what was true. I'm going to go see Aunt Elizabeth and see what's up. And when she walked in, she goes, ooh, what's up? But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped with joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises in her. Now, Elizabeth and Mary shared very common bonds. Now, I say it jokingly, but I absolutely mean it with all sincerity. I'm not man enough to be a woman. The process of nurturing and growing a child to the point of delivery, it's a miracle. And it terrifies me. It terrified me, and my wife did the work. But they had a very special bond, and let's look at them real quickly. First of all, they both had faith in spite of their fears. Here are two women who God has ordained to do something glorious for him through a method that makes no sense in the mind of man. But they had faith. Now, isn't that what we want? Don't we want to have a bond with each other by faith? That we can walk by faith, that we can look by faith, that we can serve by faith, that we can sacrifice by faith, that we can pray by faith, that we'll weep by faith. Isn't that what we want? It's not the building, and it's not the Facebook. It's the faith that binds us together. It's the faith that takes me to India, and after 2 years of not seeing Pastor Ezekiel and others, it's like I never left. It's like we've known each other forever. The bond of faith and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is incredible. Secondly, they had the promise of purpose. You will deliver God's messenger and you will deliver God's Savior. My friend, can I just say this? Every single one of you have a purpose in the plans of God. Every single one of us. We share that. Now, we're discovering that. We're walking in that. We have faith in that. But my friends, you were born with a purpose. You may have been conceived out of wedlock like I was. You may have not been planned like I was. You may have been the first 6-month full-term pregnancy like I was. But irregardless of my parents' sinfulness in my conception, God had a plan. And here I am. And wherever you've come from and by whatever means you come from, God has a purpose for you. Every day. And you know when your purpose is complete? When your eyes close and you see me no more. When your eyes close and we all come see you dressed real nice. When your eyes close and we take you out to that cemetery. A man or a woman is invincible until God's purpose is complete in them. I believe that. You see, I fear the process of dying. I don't fear dying because when God's finished with me, I just hope it's all at once. Amen. Or the rapture. He toots and I scoot. It'll be great. A promised purpose. And then lastly, and we're going to see more about this as we move forward, we'll see faithful fathers. Zacharias, in his moment of doubt, cost him to be mute for 9 months. Joseph had to have a visit from the angel just to kind of get on board here. But they were faithful. And I want to say this to all of us men, whether you're a grandfather or a father or a father one day to be or an uncle. Men, we have a significant role to play in the life of our community. And we should grab hold of that and wear it with honor every day. We are the standard bearers. We are the defenders of the weak. We are the heralds to the lost. And these men, although they started with a little fear, like I did, they finish well. They answer the call. And men of God, we need to answer the call. Every day. Every moment of every day, we need to answer the call. So what's our take home for today? Well, our take home for today is this, is faith will often lead us to and through something we have not previously experienced. My promise to you is this, is if you will allow God to use you, and if you will faithfully follow Him, He will take you further, take you higher, take you deeper than you've ever been ever. How do I know? Been there, done that. Been there, done that. And I want you to know, even in the midst of, it's glorious. To be where only God can prevail. Only God can give you the strength. Only God can give you the wisdom. Only God. Like standing in this building today, only God could do it. If you never heard the story of how you're sitting here today, you need to hear that story. Because only God could do it. It will take you further, and this will strengthen, deepen, and broaden your faith like nothing else. My friends, your faith will never grow if you never are called outside the faith that you already exist. It just doesn't happen.